Amen. Psalms 23, and just real quick as a background, in case you might be maybe just first time coming in, some maybe joining online, or you've maybe not been in just a little bit. The Psalms are poems. They're songs and prayers of really that reveal God to us and reveal His will to us so that we can know Him and live according to His will, so that we can know who He is, know what He does, and be in right relationship with Him. And David wrote this psalm from his own experience as a shepherd. David was a shepherd himself. And in the 23rd psalm, he writes about maybe some of his own experience as a shepherd over the years, but also how the Lord is a shepherd to us. So I was reminded of how, I love how the Lord will meet us where we are. He'll talk to farmers and say, the word is like a seed that you plant in the ground. He'll talk to fishermen and say, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. He'll talk to a woman baking and say, the kingdom of God is like a little leaven that you put in a batch of bread or whatever it may be. He'll talk to someone who's building and he'll say, the word is like a hammer or whatever it is. He relates to us, and I'm so thankful for that, wherever we are. And so Psalms 23, verse 1, I'll read the first part that just simply says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And I thought about calling the message that kind of entertained it for just a little bit. But I thought, I don't raise any sheep. Now I've studied it over years. I might be a little bit familiar. And I know I've heard from someone who did raise sheep for a while up in Canada. And so I'm not, you know, but I don't know how many people today, it's a beautiful saying, the Lord is my shepherd. But I want it to be practical. I want it to be relatable and livable. And just as I was reading back through the psalm, there's so much here. The Lord is this and that, and He does this, He does that. It's who He is. And I actually thought about, you don't have to write this down yet, but I thought about calling the Lord is all that. So He's just whatever. I mean, that would fit. In fact, if you would just make me feel better, would you just turn to someone next to you and just tell them the Lord is all that? He really is. But I said, well, let me just go with this. The Lord is my source. How about that? The Lord is my source because I can relate to needing a source. So the Lord is my source. That's the title of the message. And we'll just be basically in this 23rd Psalm today. But Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And then I'll relate that hopefully here through the message of how the Lord is our source as He is a shepherd. And then there is another example that this psalm gives us as we go on. But let me just say right off the bat that every blessing, every benefit that's listed in this psalm is contingent upon knowing the Lord as my shepherd. He is the shepherd, He is a shepherd, but it's like saying, you know, the Lord is the Savior, He is, but it's an eternity of difference when I know Him and I can say the Lord is my Savior. Same thing, the Lord is, He's a shepherd, but is He your shepherd? Because every blessing here is contingent on this. And Jesus took this thought, the Lord is my shepherd. And this is what He said about Himself in John chapter 10. Let me just read the verses to you and I'll come back and join you in Psalms 23. The words will be on the screen. This is John chapter 10 and verse 7. John chapter 10, verse 7, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus made seven of these I am statements in the Gospel of John. I'll go back to that in just a minute in Psalms. But Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. And then if you drop down to verse 10, Jesus said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And then verse 11, here's another I am statement. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. There are three titles of Jesus as a shepherd in the New Testament. I'll share the other two with you, Lord willing, Wednesday. But he's the good shepherd because the good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. Why did he have to do that? I'll keep going. And then just read a few more verses, verse 24 through 28. 24 through 28, the Bible says this, the Jews surrounded Jesus and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? if you are the Christ or the Messiah, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. He did such incredible miracles. He said, the miracles that I'm doing ought to at least bear witness. Even if you didn't believe my words, you should believe the works. So he goes on and he says this. This is in verse 26. But you do not believe, and notice why, because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they do what? My sheep follow me. So I can say I'm a sheep. I can go to church like a sheep and praise the Lord like a sheep. But if he's not my shepherd and I'm not following, then I'm not in the flock. So he says, you're not one of my sheep because you don't believe. That's the first step. The first step in becoming a follower of Jesus is we have to believe. And here's what we have to believe. We have to believe in our heart. It's very specific, as scripture says, in our heart, that he really is the Son of God. He is the sinless Messiah who suffered and died on the cross. That's why he's the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. He gave his life to pay for our sins so that we wouldn't have to pay for them for all eternity. He suffered and died on the cross. He literally died. 3 days later, he literally came back to life. He defeated sin, Satan, and death. And now he's back at his Father's right hand, reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords until he splits the eastern sky and comes back again to rule and reign on this earth. And the glory of the Lord fills the earth like the waters cover the sea. So he says in verse 28, Jesus said, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my Father's hand. So again, the first step to following Jesus is just simply to believe in our hearts, and when we do that, he is the sinless, crucified, and resurrected Messiah and Lord, he brings us into his flock, and he gives us eternal life. We get to live forever, and all the sins are forgiven, and he gives us his very righteousness. Psalms 23, verse 1. The Lord. Now, I'm reading from the New King James. I'm not sure. Okay, it doesn't. I guess online or the digital version doesn't really make this all capital. But in the print version, in the King James and New King James versions, all the letters of Lord are capital. Capital L-O-R-D. Whenever you see that, it means what we might traditionally call Jehovah or Yahweh. And it's when Moses asked the Lord, who am I that you're going to send me back to tell Pharaoh to let the people go? He said, it don't matter who you are. I'm with you. That's what matters. He said, okay, well, who are you? He said, just tell him I am. I am. What do you need me to be? I am. I am. I'm with you, and I am. So when Jesus said, I'm the door, he was saying, that was me. When he said, I'm the good shepherd, that was me. So when we say the Lord is my shepherd or my source, we're saying Yahweh, Jehovah, we're saying the I am, the great I am, is my shepherd and he is my source. Now let's go on and get to the benefits and get to the blessings. So I want to share a few with you of that are found in this Psalm, just five. I won't take so much time on them, but five blessings of who the Lord is in this psalm. So if the Lord is my source, he's my source of what? Who is he to me as my shepherd and my source? And here's the first one. Again, Psalms 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So here, the Lord is my provider. So what does that mean, that he's my source? It means, for one, that the Lord is my provider. He is my ultimate source and provider. Now, I know that we can... You might say, well, my job is my source. I would just say, not to be like overly critical or technical, how about saying, the Lord is my source, the job is my resource? Because I can have another job and not lose my source. So the Lord is my source, or he can be, if he's my shepherd, and he's my provider. He goes by a name that sometimes we might say Jehovah Jireh. Yahweh Yireh. And that, we had a Jewish brother here years ago. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. He would typically come on Wednesday nights because he cared for his mother during on the weekends. And he told me, excuse me, this Hebrew word would be like if you're going to the airport and you had reserved a car. Excuse me, sorry, I went down the wrong way. If you went to the rental car place and the car was there waiting on you, that's what he said that Hebrew word means. So when Abraham said, the Lord is going to provide for a sacrifice, when he got to the place, the lamb was there waiting on him. So as we follow the Lord and we walk with him, he has what we need right in steps if we're just staying in his will and following his lead. So he's my provider, and that's not just financial. The Lord is my provider of spiritual needs. He's the provider, the ultimate source of emotional needs. Now, does he use people? Of course, because he gave us each other. But that means I don't need to go outside of God's will to have the need met, to have the provision. In fact, I can mess myself up that way. But if I stay in God's will and follow God's leading, then I can have the spiritual need met. I can have the emotional need met. I can have the intellectual need met. I can have the relational need met. I can have the financial and the physical need met because he is my provider. He's my source. So the Lord is my source. And again, if we seek him, let me give you this scripture in Matthew 66, verses 31 to 33. This is what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, and what's the Sermon on the Mount, beginning in verse 31, therefore, do not worry. We could pause right there. Therefore, boy, are we prone to worry, or is that just me? I have to battle it. Therefore, do not worry, saying, and that usually comes out in our words, what shall we eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to do? What are we going to wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, your heavenly Father knows what you need. He knows you need all these things. But seek first, would you please say first? First. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I seek the Lord, we seek the Lord, and he adds what we need. We don't have to seek the stuff. Let's seek him. And then he can add what we need. So the Lord is my source. What is he my source? He's my provider. Second, he's my peace. The Lord is my provider, and the Lord is my peace. Psalms 23 and the next verse, verse 2, says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. When you think of, can you picture that in your mind? That's what I love about the Psalms, like imagery. Can you picture green, just lush green pastures and maybe a flock of sheep there, or by just a smooth, like they talk about smooth as glass, waters. They're just so peaceful. The word, actually that word still, is translated rest or resting place. He leads us into resting places of abundance and provision. He provides and he leads so that he grants us peace. And the Passion Translation describes it like this, an oasis of peace near the quiet brook of bliss. An oasis of peace near the quiet brook of bliss. I love that. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. I thank God for blessings money can't buy. You can't buy that. We cannot buy a peace that passes all understanding. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. I think we've come to our place, maybe in human nature and especially in our culture, where we want everything like this. And instant gratification and even maybe we can even, like physically, the doctor could say, you need to start doing this or make this adjustment. And we can maybe in our attitude and choices say, but I don't want to do that. Might not say it, whereas I don't want to do that. Can you just give me a drug so I don't feel the pain? Let me just address that, and then let me keep doing what I want. And that can happen, I believe, spiritually, that we've got to stay close to the shepherd, brothers and sisters. We've got to stay close to our Lord, our Father, and he is the source of peace. I'm telling you, he is the only true source of lasting peace that will ever come in this life. Now, we can have momentary moments of peace, temporary, but there is no other source of true lasting peace outside of the Prince of Peace. So he is my source of provision. He's my provider. The Lord is my peace. And this is what Jesus said in John 14, 27. This is one of my favorite verses. John 14, 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So whose peace is it? It's the Lord's. That word peace is shalom. It means wellness, wholeness. I want to go back into that just a little bit on this next one. But the Lord offers us his very shalom, wholeness and wellness. But it's only found by being close to him and taking a little time. I'm on the rush, I'm on the rush, I'm on the go. I can understand that. But maybe I need to just lie down in the green pastures for a little bit. And beside the still waters of the Lord's presence, say, "Lord, I got a lot of stuff on my to-do list, but right now I just need you. And I need your presence, and I need your grace, and I need your peace more than I need to do that. Because if I've got your peace, I can do that. But I don't want to do it without your peace." So let's make a little time for our shepherd, our source. And then not only that, verse 3, this is Psalms 23 and verse 3. Says, "He restores my soul." I'll pause there just a minute. He restores my soul. So the Lord is my provider, he's my peace, and he is my healer. The Lord is my provider. This is how he's our source. He's my peace, and he is my healer. And I believe there is a, I know what Jesus did on the cross. I'll show you the scripture. Purchased ultimate healing for us. And eternal glorified bodies. Now, we all know we're not in heaven yet, and these are not glorified bodies yet, and we have to contend with stuff sometime in these bodies and in this world. But if he is our source, please think about this. We'll be in a body that's glorified, and we'll never have another ache. I'll never take another Aleve. I'll never rub some more Icy Hot. Can I get a witness from someone? So he restores my soul. That word soul is a Hebrew word that also means our very life. It's the immaterial part. So the Lord is my healer. The Lord raises physically dead and the spiritually dead to come to life. The Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. The Lord heals wounded spirits. The Lord heals broken bodies and diseased bodies, not just because of what he does, it's who he is. He is the Lord my healer. He is the Lord my peace. That's what I'm saying. It's not just what he does, it's who he is. And we can know him that way. Thank God we can. And I really believe this. He restores my soul. So often, in fact, probably every time I pray for someone's healing right now, y'all know some that I'm praying for, I pray for inner wellness. I want to go back to that shalom. I pray for the shalom, wellness, wholeness in the spirit, because the proverb says that our spirit sustains us in a time of sickness. And I might have to deal with something in my body for a long time, but if my spirit is right, if I'm well on the inside, it can contribute to wellness in my body. On the outside. So I don't want to have just a healthy body and be diseased on the inside. I want to be shalom, wellness, wholeness, healer on the inside, and then let that a merry heart work good like medicine in my body to bring healing. Years ago, I was having some issues of just dizziness. It just came up on me. It seemed like that. I don't know why. I went through a series of tests and so forth, and my doctor, great doctor, he's retired now, sent me to a specialist in Richmond. This is what they called him. They called the specialist the dizzy doctor. That was the name that people knew him by. Great doctor. And so after a couple visits, took some medicine, whatever, I was in his office one day, and this is what he said. He looked at me and said, "Why are you such a mystery?" That's not what you want a specialist to ask you. Because I was hoping he was going to tell me. And went through all just a series, the MRIs, Man, I was, I'm not trying to criticize him, but I went to one MRI over here at the hospital. It seemed like it was just so institutionalized. Again, I'm not putting them down. God bless them. But I was nervous as it was. I'm just being honest with you. And, you know, you're in a, if you never had that experience of joy, you're in a tube and it's right here in your face and you put earplugs, there's loud noise and so forth. And, but I was nervous because I didn't know what was going on in my brain that would cause me to be dizzy. They couldn't seem to figure it out. So we said, we're going to get a picture of your brain, make sure you got something in there, and then we, no, I didn't. See if there was any kind of issues. And while I was in there, the Lord knows, you know, you get kind of in a brace like this. I licked my lips. That's true. I was just thirsty. I went, and I hear a voice. You got to stay still. Now we're going to have to start over. Sorry. Oh, well. But I remember waking up sometimes at, I don't know why it was, 3 o'clock in the morning. And that's called the fourth watch of the night in the Bible. And that's when Jesus walked on the water in a storm. And I had this little Gideon Bible. If you're listening, it's just a little, you can put it in like a coat pocket. Little orange Gideon Bible, kept it near the bed. I'm telling you, when I would wake up like that, heart racing, just everything going on, anxiety, I opened to this 23rd Psalm. And I read it to myself. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down. That's when I memorized it, was going through that. And I would say it until I felt my body calm down. I felt my heart rate steady. The Lord is my shalom. He's my healer, but I needed that on the inside. And then thankfully, they never really found anything. It just, thank God heaven. I don't really care what the problem was. As long as I'm well, I'm good. So the Lord is my healer. He's my source. Would you please tell somebody next to you, the Lord is my source. Let me continue reading that verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's the fourth one. The Lord is my righteousness. So how is the Lord my source? The Lord is my provider. He's my peace. He's my healer. And he is my righteousness. Righteousness means being in right relationship with God. And we have no righteousness to offer a holy God in ourselves. Our self-righteousness, the Bible describes as filthy rags. And one day we will stand before God and give account, standing in the filthy rags of our self-righteousness, which is not acceptable, or we will stand before a holy God clothed with the sinless robe of righteousness that Jesus died and rose again to give us, not just human goodness, but God's very righteousness that he gave to us. He leads us in paths of righteousness. So if we're in right relationship with God, remember what Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, then we follow him. He leads us in the right paths. He leads us by the truths of his word, and he leads us by the leading and guidance of his Holy Spirit. And even when those paths take us into the darkest valley and the shadows of death, if I'm following my shepherd, I don't have to fear. Because I'm right with God. He is my righteousness. And the Lord is with us. I shared that message last week. The Lord is with me. He'll lead us in right paths. I came to me this morning when I was reading back over this psalm of Job when he went through all his trying experiences. When it came down to it right at the end, I think it was Job 42:5, he said, I've been through all this. I've lost 10 children. I've lost a business. My body has been racked with disease and boils to the point that I took broken pottery and scraped. And I've questioned you and I've doubted and I've even accused a little bit. But now it transitioned. He said, I had heard about you with my ear, but now that I've come through this, my eye has seen you. There's a transition. Same thing here, this whole psalm up to verse 3. He says, he restores, he leads. He does it for his name's sake. The Lord leads us in right paths, and he does it for his own purpose, for his own name's sake, for his own honor and glory. We just need to follow our shepherd, to follow our source. But then notice what he says in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He doesn't say, for he is with me. He says, for you are with me. You see how that, I'm telling you, sometimes I don't necessarily like it, but sometimes it's through those valleys that we go through. Maybe sometimes we go through a little, I don't know, complacency or something in our walk, but then we can hit something in life, or there's a storm, or there's a trial or battle, or something we've never experienced before, and we go through that time. And if we just keep the Lord as our source, that he's my provider, he's my peace, he's my healer, he's my righteousness, he's not going to drop us off in the valley. He says, you are, now it's different. I'm not just talking about you, I'm talking to you. You're with me. And that makes all the difference. Sometimes just going through something and knowing you're not alone. Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. The Lord is with me. And I know that can be translated as the darkest valley, translated however you want. That's accurate. But for me, I really like how that is worded in the through the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death. Brother Smith, some of y'all, you've heard me share this. Can I ask you to stand up here just a second? Because you're wearing a suit. And I want to, you got a sport coat. But when my family moved from Victoria here to Hopewell, we lived over on Poplar Street, and there was a street light outside where, it would cast the light into the bedroom when I was a child. And there was a bush out there. And at night, the shadow that it cast into the room in my childhood imagination looked like this, okay? Would you pull your collar up? And then, just do like that. And I saw a man with his collar up like that with a hat on right outside the window. And I'm not kidding you. I laid there some nights scared to breathe because I didn't want him to hear me.
I know that feeling.
And before I could get to the safety of my parents' room, he would crash through the window and grab me and pull me out. And in all the years I lived, I guess from before first grade, I think we moved in about between seventh and eighth grade. You know, all the years we lived there, that shadow never hurt me.
Never did. Never did.
Thank you. I like how it's described. It doesn't just say I'm going through death. It says I'm going through the valley of the
shadow.
All those shadows can look intimidating. Oh, can't they? And then cause us in fear to do something we wouldn't normally do. But it was just a shadow. But I realized one day, to have a shadow, you got to have some light. And the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? All right. What am I doing? 2 Corinthians 5:21, real quick. I'm not sure what translation. They may have it in the New Living. Yes, I'll read that from that. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. We are made right with God. The New King James says we might become the righteousness of God through him. That's what I'm saying. God will not settle for anything less than his own righteousness, but he will graciously and abundantly give it if we will just simply believe and come to him. And then to live it out every day. And then let me give you this last one. Well, in fact, if you look at the last part of verse 4, let me read that. It says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, this does go back to a shepherd, because a shepherd, the rod was like a short club. It might have little bits of metal or studs and so forth in it. And the staff was like the long piece that would have the hook, almost like a letter J. And The rod was used that if a wolf, remember what Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He compared him to a wolf. If a wolf tries to get to one of David's sheep, he could take that club and brack it right over his head. The club wasn't for the sheep. It was for the devil. It was for the enemy, or some saying that spiritually now. And then the hook, that long hook, if the sheep started to wander off the path of righteousness a little bit, he come back, I got your hook. You come on back over here. Get back in the right path. That's why he says, your rod and your staff, they don't beat me, they comfort me. So the Lord is my source. He's my provider, my peace. He's my healer, he's my righteousness, and he's my victory. The Lord is my victory. I'll read these last two verses. Thank God that he is. Thank God for victory. Let me read verses 5 and 6. So he's not only the good shepherd, he's a gracious host. He invites us into his presence. The Bible says he prepares. Have you ever prepared a table for someone? Having guests come over, maybe holiday or whatever it is. Think about the Lord preparing a table. The Lord setting a table for us. You prepare a table before me in the presence. Oh, I love that. Right in the face of my enemies. You set a banquet. It's a table in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. That anointing, the Bible mentions two kinds of oil. It says just oil in the English, but there is one that's an anointing oil for like a king or a priest. But then there is a fragrant oil that could be imported from the Himalayan mountains from India. And that was, man, when you put that on someone, it would be like, it would smell up the house and just a perfume smell. But it was, if a host invited you in and they gave you that kind of oil, you had their favor. So the Lord says, I'm preparing a table of fellowship and favor for you. Come on and let's dine together. And right in the face of your enemy, I'm going to do this. You don't have to be intimidated. Come feast up. You just fellowship with me. And you do that, and I'll give you the strength you need to face the battles that are waiting on you. So it all flows out of that faithful, out of that fellowship. And then verse 6, surely goodness and mercy. That word mercy means it's a covenant love. It's a very rich word in the Hebrew. We can't really define with one English word. But surely goodness, your covenant love, your steadfast, faithful love shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus said, or Jesus didn't say it, but 1 Corinthians 15 and 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Just like peace, it's a gift. He won it. He earned it. He's willing to share it if we're willing to believe and receive. Thank you, Lord, for the victory today. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is my source. Thank God that he is. And I love this. He says, we follow him and his goodness and mercy follow us. Surely. Would you please say surely?
Surely.
No doubt.
No doubt at
all the days of my life. No doubt, no end. No doubt, no end. The Lord is my source. I'm going to close with this. I had another MRI experience. This was a little better. I went over to Appomattox. And when I went in, they got like little soft clouds, blue walls painted, so forth. And when I got into the tube to slide me into that bed, you're lying down flat on your back, and you slide into this tube, and it feels like it's right here in your face. But she said, the lady who helped me said, when you get in, look up. I said, okay. So she slides me in. I'm on my back. I got this right in my face. And I look over my head, and I could see the wall. I said, I'm not even trapped in this thing. I thought I was in a tube and couldn't get out. I see the wall right there. And nothing changed physically, but something changed in me. If I can relate that spiritually, maybe there are times we just need to look up and get the proper perspective so that we can see from his perspective and experience a peace that knows, hey, God's got, I don't have it, but God does. He's my source. And just like in that MRI machine, I looked up and I got a different perspective. And I was like, I got, oh, this is cool. I won't lick my lips or anything in this one. I won't. I'm going to focus on the Lord. Spiritually, maybe today somebody needs to just look up and let the Lord give us that different, the right perspective. Because it's so easy to focus on right here when we're in the mess. But if the Lord is my source, I'm thank God. No doubt, no end. He's my provider, my peace, my healer, my righteousness, and my victory. Can we go to the Lord in prayer? Lord, thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your spirit. Thank you for, you are all that. Help us to just draw close to you. Help us to get to know you better, Lord. Let nothing come between us. It's not worth it. Help us to stay close to you. Stay in fellowship. To walk your path, even when they go through valleys. Lord, you'll lead us out. And not only that, you'll be with us through it all. Just think about this. Is Jesus your Lord and your source today? And I really want to ask you to think about this now. Of these five truths about the Lord, which one is most relevant to you today? Maybe peace, maybe provision, maybe victory, I don't know, whatever it is. Will you make some time this week, every day? I want to ask you to read 6 verses. Read this psalm every day. Just say, Lord, speak to me. I'm telling you, he'll do it. Just give him a little time and let these truths get in your heart and your spirit and then seek to live them out. He is your shepherd. He is your source. So if you'd be willing to do that each day this week, just one psalm and feed your faith on it. Can we stand together?